Good morning, everyone. We are going to be taking a look at John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. We are doing a series on Upper Room Discourse, and Rocky was the first to go last week, and he did a wonderful introduction to the Upper Room Discourse from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. And today we'll be continuing in that series with verses 15 to 24. So when I was looking into this chapter, and there are some remarkable promises that are mentioned in this chapter, and I wanted to mention these five promises that are mentioned. And these promises hopefully are an encouragement for all of you. Some of it has already been mentioned by Rocky. So the number one promise is the promise of that he is preparing a place and he is coming again to receive us. Then we see the promise that those who are in Christ will do greater works through him, through the Holy Spirit. Then we see whatever we ask in his name, that he will do. And then in these passages, we will see the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then later in this chapter, which Robert Joshua will be covering next week, we will see the promise of peace. So there are these five promises that are mentioned in this chapter. I just wanted to share that and remind everyone that these promises are so encouraging. Personally, I felt so encouraged by these promises. And especially in this time we are in, let's hold on to these promises. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord Almighty, we just marvel at these promises that are given in Scripture and how true they are. Lord, we think about the promise that you have gone to prepare a place for us, and one day you would be coming back to receive us, Lord. And what a wonderful promise that is, Lord. We think about the promise about whatever we ask in your name, you would grant us, Lord. And what a wonderful promise that is, Lord. We look at the promise of we'll do greater things than the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Indeed, Lord, help us to believe in that promise and do mighty things for you, Lord. We think about the promise of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as we look into these sections, Lord, help us to understand these verses and understand this promise of the Holy Spirit and to every believer, Lord. And we just pray that you would speak through me this morning, and we pray that this message would be comforting to all. It would not be something that we would just hear, but Lord, we would apply it in our daily lives. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this particular section of John chapter 14 has a lot of themes there. And I wanted to bring those themes out at first. First, you see, there is the love for God. Our love for God is mentioned in a number of verses. Then we see the theme of obedience mentioned in many of these verses. Obedience out of love. And then we see the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is for every believer. Everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a promise of the Holy Spirit given here. And then finally we see God's love mentioned in this this passage. And I was just thinking about all of these layers, and just like a great sandwich, you know, you would see different layers that are there in a great sandwich. And I want all of us to take time to go through these passages, go through these verses, and just cherish the taste of it. and apply it in our daily lives. And, you know, Neeru likes to remind me often to not gorge on food, to slow down and eat. And this is the same advice I would give for these passages. These are tremendous scriptures, tremendous chapters that the Lord gave to his disciples. The disciples were going to face some troubling times. They were already troubled by the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to leave them. And these words were very significant for them, and they held on to these verses, as we see in later how they had to deal with lots of troubles in Acts. So may these verses continue to be a comfort to all of us. So with that, let's turn to the to verse 15 of chapter 14, which says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ talk about our love and how we are to keep his commandments if we love him. And someone once said, "Love makes obedience easy. It's the delight of love to do what the loved one desires." And in fact, love makes obedience a delight. And we sometimes like to protest. We make this protest with words that we indeed love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in John chapter 21, we see Peter making the same kind of protest before the Lord. If we turn to John chapter 21, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 21, and you would see that Peter, instead of waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, and instead of waiting for the Lord to reveal what is meant for the disciples, he decides to take matters in his own hands. He decides to go back to his old profession, that is fishing. And here we see that after the whole night, when the Peter and the other disciples who were with him were fishing and they did not catch anything, and then the Lord Jesus Christ shows up on the shore asking them this question, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And then they said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And John realized that this is the Lord, and immediately Peter jumped off the boat, and he wore his outer garment and jumped off the boat and came swimming to the Lord. He wanted to show his great love by getting there to the shore before all the other disciples get there. And then after breakfast, Jesus had some questions for Peter. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And then Peter makes this protest. "Yes, Lord, I love you." And the Lord says, "Feed my lamb." And then he asks the question second time. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And then he protests even more strongly with his words. "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then the Lord says, "Tend my sheep." And then finally, the third time, the Lord Jesus Christ asked him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And this time, Peter was grieved. Peter was hurt. He probably realized that he was not being obedient to what the Lord was saying to him. And he was not waiting for his will to be revealed. He was not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And he was cut by those verses. And then he says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And he makes one more protest, but this time it was much more calmer. And we love to do the same thing in our own lives. We love to make these protests about love. But, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I don't want to sound legalistic. this is not legalism. If you obey the commandments of the Lord out of love, it is not legalism. In fact, it's the opposite of legalism. Legalism is obeying commands without love. And here you can even see in 1 John 3:18, John mentions this. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So he emphasizes that let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed. Obey the commandments of the Lord is what the Lord Jesus Christ advised to us if we love him. And if we look at the next verse, next two verses in John chapter 14, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and you will be in you. So here we see the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will pray. And in John chapter 17, which Quincy gave a message from shortly a few weeks ago, it says the Lord Jesus Christ actually prayed for the disciples and also for all the believers. And we see that the Holy Spirit is an answer to that prayer. We are to be reminded that that the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer is the reason that we have another helper. Who is nothing but the Holy Spirit. And then I wanted to pay the special attention to these words, another helper. You know, the word in the Greek, which corresponds to the word another, is the word alos. And alos means another of the same kind. You know, there are two different words in the Greek, alos and heteros. Heteros means another of a different kind, but the word that is used is for the Holy Spirit is another of the same kind as the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that the Holy Spirit is God because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is of the same kind. And he's also a person. And many times there are many churches around the world who make this mistake to think that the Holy Spirit is some sort of a power, not a person. They make this mistake just like Simon the magician made this mistake in Acts chapter 8. If you remember what happened in Acts chapter 8, there was Philip who went to Samaria to preach, and Simon the magician started believing the message that Philip preached. Then Peter and John came to bless the people, for they had not received the Holy Spirit at that time. And then seeing what Peter and John's prayer and the Holy Spirit descending on many people, seeing that event, Simon made the mistake of thinking that this is a power to be obtained. And he went one step further to bribe the disciples to get that power. And it was a great sin that he did. And we can see that same spirit of Simon in many churches today. There are people who say that you have to go to this revival meeting to obtain that great power, to witness that great power. And I have no problem with witnessing it, but the moment you think of this power as something that you should obtain and how it's going to promote yourself, then there is something wrong with that approach. Instead, we should be thinking of the Holy Spirit as a person. And when we see the Holy Spirit as a person, we should be thinking about how can the Holy Spirit lay more hold of me rather than we grabbing on to this power. I wanted to also emphasize the word helper that's used in the New King James. If you are following the King James version, the word used here is the comforter. And in the Greek, the word used is parakletos, which means both comforter and helper. And the word stands for being an advocate, being someone who would come alongside, someone who would strengthen us when in the time of need. And so we are to be reminded that the Holy Spirit's job is to comfort us, to help us in this journey. And we'll take a look at that in some of the typology that I plan to cover later in the in this message. But here we have a great promise of the Holy Spirit. And there are some who would pray that, who would say that the Holy Spirit, you need to pray special prayer or take a baptism for the Holy Spirit to come onto you. And those are false doctrines, false teachings. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So in other words, the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit happens the moment a believer believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment the person comes to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should cherish this promise. And in these verses we read that he abides with us forever. Abides forever. What a wonderful promise. It is not a Holy Spirit who would just come and go as he pleases. He abides with each believer. Great, great promise. He's also the Spirit of truth. And if you read John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." So here, the Holy Spirit has a great purpose. He guides us into all truth. And I wanted to emphasize, there are folks who say that, "Oh, I am empowered by the Holy Spirit and I'm doing this out of the Holy Spirit." But we have to realize that we need to be reading scripture and it should be conformed to the word. And there are people who do not read the word and they claim that the Holy Spirit said this thing to do or reveal something to them. And we should be careful of that. The Holy Spirit is not not causes confusion. He's not an author of confusion. It should be conformed to the word. But he has a great role in guiding us into all truth, given, and he reminds us of all truth through the scriptures. And we see this is exclusive to the believer in these verses. We see that the world does not see him or know him, but believers would know him. And we think about these verses, and there is one last one that I wanted to highlight. It says that he dwells with you and will be in you. And there are so many times we think about, won't it be cool to maybe travel to the places written in the Bible? It would be amazing to go to Jerusalem, and I personally intend to do that one day. But it's even more wonderful to see that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised the Helper, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. He dwells within us, and he's within us. And this is even more wonderful, and we should be at awe to realize this. And also, when I was studying for this message, I came across yet another point that another brother brought it up. You see, the tabernacle, in the tabernacle, God dwelt in the tabernacle, when the tabernacle was built as per the patterns that was given to Moses. When we see the temple which Solomon built, the Shekinah glory dwelt in that temple. We see in Ezekiel, the Shekinah glory left the temple as well, when it was grieved by what the people were doing. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 tabernacled among us. He dwelt among us. And then in these chapters, we see that the Holy Spirit is now dwelling within a believer. And boy, and I'm just thinking about this particular thought. It is really amazing to see what the Lord Jesus Christ promised. And as believers, sometimes we don't even realize what a wonderful promise this is, and how special this is that the Lord Jesus Christ has given this helper. He's prayed for us, and this helper has come today and resides in each believer. Now, many times we look at the Holy Spirit and we say, well, I don't feel the Holy Spirit, and we cannot see him. Yes, that is very true, but we can always feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. The story is told about a little boy who was flying a kite. It was a windy day, and the kite kept going higher and higher. Finally, it got so high that it was out of sight. A man passed by and saw the little boy holding on to the string. The man could not see the kite, and he asked the boy, "How do you even know you have a kite up there?" The boy replied, "Because I can feel it." And this is the same feeling that we get as believers, that there's a tug of the Holy Spirit. We cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we can sense his work in our lives, changing us into the image of Christ. And again, wanted to highlight that the Holy Spirit works in our lives through God's Word. As we read Scripture and meditate on it, he brings things to our remembrance that we become more and more like Christ. And with that, let's move on to verse 18. It says, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Here again, the Lord Jesus Christ highlights how he's not going to abandon the disciples. And it's a wonderful promise for even for us as believers that he is not abandoning us. He's not left us as orphans. And I was thinking about when people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, they are like a newborn babe. A newborn babe needs his or her parents to nurture them, or an adult to take care of them. And in a similar manner, the Holy Spirit is given to every newborn babe, a newborn person in Christ, and is not abandoned. The newborn person is not abandoned in the world. He has not left us orphans. He has also promised that he will come to us through the Holy Spirit. There is also a second meaning that perhaps could be taken of the phrase, "I will come to you." There is the promise of him coming later for a second coming. And also the coming in the clouds as well. There's that promise too. So we are to be resting on this wonderful promise of how he has not abandoned us, about how we are not orphans, and he is going to come and receive us. Right. In verses 19 to 24, we see, "A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also. And at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We see the great double resurrection being mentioned here. The Lord Jesus Christ said he will be going away, and so that's why the world will not see him no more. But the disciples, he promised them that you will see me. Because I live, you will also live also. And I was thinking about Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection is the very reason we who were dead in trespasses are now alive in together with Christ. In Romans chapter 1 verse 4 it also says, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So here we see that the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection was witnessed by the disciples was proof that he was indeed the Son of God. And that's why in verse 20 it says, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And with the resurrection, the disciples came to know that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. Till that point, they had a very vague notion about who Jesus was. But after the resurrection, they indeed realized this is the Lord. This is who he claimed to be. And I had some thoughts about how we are to obey the commandments. A lot of times when we obey the commandments, we have trouble in keeping Christ's commandments. Maybe it's because of hardening of our heart, and as a result, there are some helpful points that we can think about to change our ways and to keep Christ's commandment. So, number one, we need to respond to Christ's immutable love. We need to see his great love on the cross. We need to see how the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He paid that penalty, and it's very, very key to meditate on that. And that's what we tend to do every breaking of bread. We see what a wonderful sacrifice that he did on the cross, and we need to, as a result, respond to that great love that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown. We need to realize also that the Spirit of Christ indwells within us. The moment we realize that the Holy Spirit, who is nothing but the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, God himself is dwelling with us, we are put in an awe about what God has done. And that should lead us to keeping Christ's commandments. We also should rely on the Holy Spirit by reading his word, and of course praying in the Spirit to help us to keep Christ's commandments. And there is, unfortunately, in the world, there is this spirit of antinomianism, which means that there's a spirit of anti-law. There is a lot of false teachings in many churches which says that God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. And when I first heard this when I was in the outreach, and I was just baffled by this person making the statement that he likes the God of the New Testament, but he does not like the God of the Old Testament. I guess at that point I was not familiar with this doctrine of antinomianism, which is the anti-law doctrine, which says that the law has been taken away. In fact, there are some preachers who would say God broke the law for love, and that's wrong. God fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, and we see that he is still the just God. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. He provided the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross and took away that penalty that was the result of the law that we had broken. And so if there are some who would say that we don't need to follow the law, or we don't need to obey his commandments, or if we say that the Lord's love is sufficient and we can live lives just the way we want, there are people who would claim that homosexuality is fine, gay marriages are fine, it's just love. It's love is what all there is. And if you even think about Beatles, their song on love, there are so many people that have been taken to this false doctrine. And that is the spirit of antinomianism, which is the anti-law, which is a false doctrine. John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 to 6 says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." And great verse that is there in 1 John, reminding us that we are to obey his commandments. And the love of God is perfected in us when we obey his commandments. And anyone who does not obey the commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And just a reminder that how we are to obey the commandments out of love. Now, there are some wonderful benefits of keeping these commandments. You know, in these verses that we read, verses 21 onwards, we see that the Father and the Son will love us as a result. We see that his great love will be perfected in us because we keep his commandments. And I would challenge each one of you to try and to obey his commandments. And out of love, not out of duty, just pure out of pure love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has also promised that Jesus will manifest to us, the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself to us as a result. And I was just thinking about my own life, and you know, there have been times long time ago when I was first became a believer where I was not fully following what the Lord had commanded, and there was sin in my own life, and but the Lord Jesus Christ was very gracious to me, and you know, he convicted me through the Holy Spirit of various sins in my life and various weaknesses in my life, and he has allowed me to be more and more conformed to his image as a result of that conviction through the Holy Spirit. And so obedience leads to deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result. The deeper you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more through obedience. And I can personally witness of that. And it also results in a very exclusive relationship with God that the world cannot know or ever have. Only a believer can have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And so there are some great benefits of keeping His commandments. And as believers, we need to think about this and see if we are conformed to His will, to obey His. Are we obeying His commandments, as the scripture says? This week was a North American week of prayer, and there were a number of speakers, and I was really touched by the thoughts that were shared by a number of speakers. And one of the thoughts shared by some of the brothers was this aspect of how in America, and the many Christians have got distracted, have even stopped praying. There's a lack of prayer in our lives. The lack of, or he termed it prayerlessness. And, you know, Samuel would say that not praying to God is a sin. And it is a challenge for each one of us to pray more often, pray without ceasing, and pray constantly. And there are many things, if we look into the scriptures, that we fall short, we fall weak, we have weaknesses, and we fall short of what the Lord wants us for us to do. And let us all think about these verses that the Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to follow. And finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about an anti-type that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 24. You know, I really enjoy typology, and typology brings the best in, and we can see through these illustrations some great truths about various things that are mentioned in the New Testament. And if we turn to Genesis chapter 24, we would see that Abraham wanted to find a bride for Isaac. He wanted he did not want Isaac to marry someone, a woman from the Canaanites. He was afraid that if he would marry a Canaanite woman, she would take him away from the Lord. And he gives this very important responsibility to his oldest servant, who in verse 2 it says, who ruled over all that he had. So here is Abraham's servant, the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had. He was given this very important responsibility to find a bride for Isaac. And the servant was pretty wise, and he was very practical too. The moment he heard of Abraham's request, he said that, should I take your son back to Mesopotamia, where you are from? And Abraham strictly forbade him from doing that. And the servant realized that this is a great difficult task, and so we see in this chapter how Abraham relied on God to show who the right woman would be, who would the right bride would be for Isaac. We also see that the servant in verse 10 of Genesis chapter 24, that the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hands. All his master's goods were in his hands. All the goods that Abraham had, all the wonderful things that he could show to convince the bride were in his hand. He had loaded 10 camels with all those goods. He realized that those goods would convince the bride that indeed Abraham was very rich, and also Isaac was very benevolent. And he makes this very long journey. Some have estimated the journey was over 500 miles, and it would have taken 2 to 3 weeks to make that journey from where Abraham was to the city of Nahor. The moment he reaches the city, he prays to God. He prays to God, asking for help, saying that the woman who would give him water and also feed the camels would be the one that you have chosen. And he prayed for that sign. And then we see in verse 17, that when the Abraham servant ran to Rebecca and asked her for water, she fed water from the pitcher and then also fed the camels. Now, I have not fed a camel in my entire life, but it is said that camels can be very thirsty. They store up water for a long journey, and they just gorge water like anything. And we just don't have one camel here. We have 10 camels. And Rebecca would have had to take the water out of the well many times to completely quench the thirst of these camels. And the servant was watching all this while. The servant was watching when, and he says in verse 19, you see that, the servant was silent while Rebecca continued to feed, put water in front of the camels. And verse 22, we see, so it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels of gold. And here we see that Abraham's servant took some of the goods that he had brought with him, the golden nose ring and the bracelet, and he gives it to Rebecca. And you know, if you think about the Holy Spirit, also has a similar role. He shows us the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he convicts us. He shows us what a wonderful Savior he is. And then, immediately the servant went about his master's business. In verse 23, he says, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And Rebecca's reply was, yes, there is plenty of room. And in verse 26, again, we see that the servant bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And then verse 33, we see when the servant reaches Rebecca's house and the food was set before him, he says, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And here the servant had to finish his errand. He was concerned about the errand, not the food that was placed before him. He had this long journey. I don't know if he was he had food before or how hungry he was, but definitely he did not wait to take rest. He had a 2 to 3 week journey and he did not wait to take rest. He wanted to finish his master's errand. And similarly, the Holy Spirit that works in us has an errand. His errand is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives. And he will not rest till he finishes that errand. Just a reminder through these verses. The Lord, and he's in verse 34, again, the Abraham servant says, the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And we see in a similar manner, the Holy Spirit reminds us of all the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds us from various scriptures how marvelous, how beautiful the Lord Jesus Christ is. And here, Abraham's servant you know, takes out all the goods that he was carrying with him. He distributes that to Rebekah after he had told his brother why he was there. And then as soon as Laban agreed to the marriage, Abraham's servant wanted to go back, wanted to take Rebekah with him as soon as possible. And here is a man who had made 3 weeks of journey, and he was not concerned about taking rest, but he was more concerned about taking the bride to the bridegroom. And you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. His role is to take us through this journey. He is a guide. You know, Abraham's servant knew the way back, knew the way. He knew all the treacherous things that was there on the journey. This is a long, hard journey. And we are not told much about this journey in these scriptures. But imagine a young woman who's making this long journey, 2 to 3 weeks through hard terrain. And what a comfort Abraham's servant was there would have been. He would have reminded Rebekah of all the wonderful things about the Lord. And in fact, I would think, I use my holy imagination to think that Rebekah would have even asked Abraham's servant, tell me more about my beloved. Tell me more about my beloved, the stories that he has. And you know, we have this journey that we have in this life before us. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the Holy Spirit as a guide. It is treacherous. There are times when there are crises. We are in a moment of crisis. And you know, we should lean upon the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. He reminds us of all things, reminds us of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to seek him, and we need to ask him this question: tell me more about the beloved. And then finally in verse 62, we see that after Rebekah, Rebekah and Abraham's servant reach the land of Beer Lahai Roy, we see the verse 62. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she said to the servant, who is this this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And just thinking about one day we would be united with the Lord. You know, we would see him face to face. We'll be united with the beloved. The bridegroom awaits us. He's in the fields already. He's looking to meet us. And let us just rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us and comfort us during this journey. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Lord Almighty, we just thank thee for these wonderful verses in scriptures. Lord, these promises are amazing. Lord, how you thought through every single detail, Lord. You've not abandoned us. You have not left us orphans in this world. Lord, this journey can be so hard. There are moments of crisis like the way one we are facing right now. Lord, but we thank thee, Lord, for giving us the Holy Spirit who guides us, who comforts us, who leads us into this journey. And Lord, we pray that each one of us would rely on the Holy Spirit more and more to be a source of comfort. And Lord, we just pray that one day when this journey is over, that we would be with you, and we would just rejoice in today that journey will come to an end one day. Lord, we thank thee that in these scriptures you have reminded us that to obey your commandments out of love. Lord, help us each one to do this out of love. Help us to do this because this is what you desire. Help us to do this because this is your delight, Lord. Just pray, Lord, each one of us would be a testimony for you, a light in the dark places. Lord, we pray that we all would be a fragrant of Christ, and through the Holy Spirit would be conformed to his image, Lord. Would be changed. We would discard our old self and be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in the name of our precious Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.